Welcome to Crabby Friends, the podcast that discusses female friendships, the good, the bad, the ugly.
Girl power defeating bitchery since 2018.
I'm New York Times bestselling author Kristen Higgins.
And I'm USA Today bestselling author Joss Day.
And we're best friends.
Hi!
How are you?
You know.
Yeah.
It's COVID.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I am.
COVID. But you know, look out my window.
I was saying, up here is so glorious already.
Yeah, the foliage has hit and it's
beautiful.
Really good for the soul.
Right.
You
and
know?
It's a really lovely day today.
Yeah. I was driving back from Cape Cod yesterday and along the highway was so gorgeous. And it was nice, you know. It was nice to see something so pretty that your heart cheered up. Because it's hard times.
It's tough times.
Hard to be positive these days.
Yeah, everything seems so dark. I'm waiting for the aliens to come. I have a friend who tells me, wait for it to January, it's going to happen.
January.
Okay. The aliens will drop down and...
There's a meteor headed for Earth.
Well, you there know, you go. Like, that's probably the aliens.
Mm-hmm. We've all seen that movie.
Yeah.
Where is Bruce Willis? sir, we need you. So anyway, we have a fun letter today,
yeah.
Interesting letter, and I will get right to it.
Okay.
Dear ladies, my best friend and I have been besties since third grade. Dahlia, not her real name, is smart, funny, sarcastic, soft-hearted. When my mom died unexpectedly when I was a junior in college, she was my rock. We are now in our 30s, living life well in that we both have jobs we aspired to. I am engaged to a wonderful, wonderful man, and Dahlia really likes him. Sort of. There is a tension between them, and I can't put my finger on it. I realize that Dahlia has always been my person, and now my fiancé is, and will be more important. Dahlia has not met the one, but does date a lot. Sometimes I feel like she's with a gal, did I mention she is gay? Because she wants anyone, not particularly this person. At any rate, she is single, I'm getting married, hopefully in a normal non-COVID wedding next summer, and she's my maid of honor.
Nice.
But since I met my guy, there's been a cooling off from Dahlia. The easy answer is that she's jealous, and maybe she is a little bit. My fiancé is very tight-lipped about Dahlia, and I'm not sure he likes her 100%. I don't want to force him to talk about her because I'm a little afraid of what he'll say, like he might point out things I don't want to know about Dahlia. He is not homophobic, so this has nothing to do with her being gay. I'm afraid it is more about her being a little bit mean. For example, when we went dress shopping, it was hard without my mom. It was just me, Dahlia, and my much older sister, who is great. But from Dahlia, there was a real lack of enthusiasm. She paced in on a smile, but she seemed bored most of the time, checking her phone, not really talking much. When I talk about the wedding, she tolerates it, but isn't 100%, you know? Not everyone loves weddings, but she was so happy to be my maid of honor, and there's no one else I'd rather have. I even gave her an out and said, if weddings aren't your thing, that's fine. But she said, of course I want to be your maid of honor, and hugged me. But the mixed messages are there. I'm not sure what to do. I feel like me getting married will make us less close. I don't want that. Do you have any suggestions? Love the podcast. Thanks, ladies. Signed, bride-to-be.
Yeah, I think that's... Yeah.
It's an interesting conundrum.
It is. And I'm sorry to say, Brad, you're going to have to talk to both of your people.
Mm-hmm.
There's no getting away from that.
Yeah. I consulted Princess Jon Snow on my daughter,
mm-hmm.
and because she's much younger and
mm-hmm.
And more attuned to this. And she said the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to them. You've got to ask them what the deal is.
Mm-hmm.
And is there something about the fiancé that she doesn't like?
Mm-hmm.
It's now or never,
mm-hmm.
right? If you don't say something now, then you're going to marry this guy and never know. But you've been friends since you were 8.
Mm-hmm.
So come on.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, you got to be able to do this. And you want to start your relationship with your fiancé off on a very communicative foot.
Right.
So you don't want to, like, bury your head in the sand on this one. You definitely want to talk with him. And I guess you're afraid that you're going to hear something bad about your best friend. And you might. And... I can see where she's coming from. She's
bride to be.
Maid of honor.
Okay.
Yeah, I can see where she's coming from. She's losing her person, it feels like. Mm-hmm. Moving to mm-hmm. a different stage in your life, and things are going to be completely different.
Right.
And so she might feel a little unsure, and that might make her not as nice as she could be.
Yeah, I mean, I do think that there is a little jealousy going on in here, in that, you know, it's always been the two of us since we were little, and here is this interloper
right.
who is going to sleep in the same bed as you and be right. with you every day, and maybe the father of your children if you right. choose that route. And it's hard.
Yeah.
You know, it's a big transition.
Yeah.
And for you, bride-to-be, it's a very happy transition, and you're mm-hmm. really excited about this. But for her, it is a loss.
Yeah.
Even though you still want to stay close. And so I did have some practical suggestions.
Oh,
I absolutely agree with Joss and the princess that, you know, you should have a conversation in a very unthreatening way. No confrontations, but mm-hmm. just like, I'm getting a little vibe from you about maybe a lack of enthusiasm about my guy.
Mm-hmm.
And is there something that you want to discuss? Because I've known you since we were 8 years old, and I value your opinion. And you know, I love him and I'm planning on marrying him, but, you know, if there's something to say, say it now
mm-hmm.
or don't say it now,
mm-hmm.
but like, here is the window.
Yeah.
Don't get to say it in 2 years.
Right.
Right.
Right. Right.
And then the same with your fiance, like, honey, you know that Dahlia is my bestie, but I don't know, you know, you seem a little tight-lipped around her and is everything okay?
Yeah.
Like, she's so important to me. They don't have to be best friends.
No, they don't.
And, you know,
oh, no,
maybe
don't.
You have this little fantasy about how it will be the three of you.
Right.
Maybe someday the four of you,
right.
if Dahlia finds the one. But I think that it's important to have some honesty here and some clarity. And Joss was right. You might hear something that you don't want to hear.
Right. Which is, I think it's going to be fine. I think one of your goals in having these conversations is to remind your people that they are your people
mm-hmm.
and that you have this open sort of communication between you where you can talk about these things that are really tough.
Right.
So definitely talk to your fiancé. And I think for you, bride-to-be, do what Kristen says in terms of managing your expectations at this point. We're not going to be a family, maybe,
yeah.
that you want us to be. Like, you're not just going to be able to meld
have it,
everything.
Right, same plus your husband.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's just not going to work. And you're going to have to navigate that pathway a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Some things that Dahlia might confess to you, you might naturally think of telling your husband because you want to be close with him and share everything
yeah.
with him. But that may upset Dahlia, who wants the kind of secrecy and privacy she was able to enjoy with you
yeah.
beforehand. So you're going to have to like navigate how to make that work.
Right. And, you know, I have a marriage where pretty much my husband knows everything that I have going on in my life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I have a bad encounter with a person, he hears about it. If,
mm-hmm.
if you know, my aunt said something that upset me, he hears about it. But there's an argument to be made for keeping some things separate. You know, for example, if you and Dahlia have an inside joke and, you know, you can keep it yours.
Mm.
It doesn't have to be shared with the husband. He doesn't have to appreciate it. So I'm guessing that from the sound of your letter, you seem like a very kind-hearted person and that your friend is a great person and your fiancé is a great person, right? So let's go with that.
Yeah.
After you get married, even before, I think it's important to tell your fiancé, you know, Dahlia and I are going to do things without you,
mm-hmm.
right? Because we have our thing, we have our girls' night, you know. And make sure that that is clear
mm-hmm.
that, and I'm just saying this because just in the off chance that he is a very controlling person
mm-hmm.
and what he doesn't like about Dahlia is that you like her so much.
Right.
Let's hope that's not the case. If it is, you have bigger problems, sweetheart.
Mm-hmm.
So make it clear, like, Dahlia is a priority in my life. Not as much as you, mm-hmm. because we're partners, but, you know, once a week or once a month, we're going to have our thing, or I'll sleep over her apartment and, mm-hmm. you know, do our thing, and let Dahlia know too. Like, we're still going to be best right. friends. And I think it's very important as a married person that you do have a life outside of the things that you and your spouse do together.
Yeah. I love that. It's more managing expectations, which I like saying. It's one mm-hmm. of my favorite things. Mm-hmm. And doing that for each person. I would even, like, during your conversation, sort of ask your fiancé what he thought marriage would look like. And then you guys discuss that together, what it looks like. And then talk to him about how, well, this is my best friend, and I sort of assumed that she would be part of my life, even as right. I got married. And he might have said, well, I wasn't thinking about that at all. And I think you should do the same thing with Dahlia. Like, what do you see happening here?
After I'm
married. This is what I was expecting, but I'm starting to realize that this may not be possible.
Mm-hmm.
I think it'd be great to leave communication wide open that way. So
yeah,
people
I think
feel
that's
that they can talk.
Right. It's so healthy.
Mm.
It's such an honest way of approaching what might be a prickly situation that you seem like you're shying away from. You
right.
say, like, I'm not sure I want to hear what he has to say.
Right.
You need to hear what he has to say.
Yes, you do.
And I think that, I think that's a great suggestion. You know, what did you picture marriage to be like? And I also think that, on an aside, you and your fiancé should get premarital counseling.
100%, yes.
Because, and I, you know, not like necessarily from the church or whatever, but from somebody like a licensed marriage and family counselor to kind of pinpoint troubles in marriage, they're gonna happen,
mm-hmm.
right? And what are the things that are most common problems? What might be the red flags for you guys? Is it gonna be, you know, his sister or your father?
Mm-hmm.
And is it gonna be money? Is it gonna be where we live? And how do we handle these disagreements?
Yeah.
And, well, like, what's a safe way to fight
right.
and disagree,
yeah.
And what things are off limits and really damaging?
Totally agree.
So I would say that Dahlia would fall into one of these things that you
mm-hmm.
might discuss. Like, I have this super close best friend,
mm-hmm.
and I don't want to give her up. But also to acknowledge that, you know, you are moving on to a different phase in life of partnership, and Dahlia is not there yet.
Yeah.
And she is going to feel a little left behind, no matter what you say, because she is actually being left behind.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And you can't really deny that fact.
Yeah. Yeah.
I remember when my closest friend got married, she moved across the planet.
Right.
And it was devastating for me.
I can imagine.
It was like a heartbreak,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
And we had been so close since, like, the first day of college, and I was engaged at the time, but to lose her, not just like to a guy, you know,
mm-hmm.
I was very happy for her, but to lose her to another culture,
mm-hmm.
to another time zone,
mm-hmm.
to a place that I couldn't easily access her. We didn't even have email back then.
Oh my God.
You know? I mean, I felt that loss acutely. And
yeah.
we always say, like, friendship can be just as important as a romantic relationship. So I think you also have to be generous with Dahlia and acknowledge that this is really hard for her.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. I couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
I love the idea of marriage counseling
because mm-hmm.
That will only help you guys
yeah.
have a more successful marriage. That's what you want to do.
And if there is something shocking that one of them reveals,
yeah.
like, say your fiance says, yeah, I don't like her. She hit on me the
yeah.
first time we met.
Mm-hmm.
You need to know that.
Yes.
And 100%. If Dahlia says, you know, he made some homophobic comment to me,
yeah,
you need to know that.
Yes, you need to know it all.
So in this time of happiness for you, you want to make sure that the ground is solid,
yeah.
you know, and that you have a really good foundation to build your marriage on. You say, this guy is wonderful. So, you know, let's hope for the best here. And just, he says, she rubs me the wrong way.
Or, yeah, maybe he just feels her she's putting up these sort of walls so that he can't be part of your little friendship. Yeah. So maybe that's what he's responding to, is more mm-hmm. of a feeling.
Or just a resentment, like, you know, work harder, fiancé, to woo me, the best friend.
Right, you know,
maybe she's somehow asking for attention.
I agree. Or she thinks he doesn't measure up, and she kind of lets him know in one way or the other.
Right. But either way, you should never be afraid of asking someone you love for honest, open communication.
Agree.
Yeah, you know, that's really interesting when friends get married and kind of leave you. I'm thinking of now about, like, I was a bridesmaid many times.
Yeah.
And thinking about that, it was always, you know, a happy occasion. And it was only when my friend was moving to the other side of the globe that I really felt very sad, mm-hmm. you know, not at how her life was going to be, but at how much harder our friendship was going
to
be.
Yeah. You both have to sort of commit to that. I don't recall any... Because I always went away to school, I was always used to having friends away. And we weren't each in each other's pockets.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have been able to navigate that sort of thing. You get married? Sure, I'm good.
Yeah. right.
Or have a baby, which usually disrupts everything for a while.
Yeah.
Be ready for that.
That's right. Right to be. If you plan on having kids, like everything will be thrown into chaos.
Yes.
Happy chaos.
Yes. But
I say optimistically. But I would take her at her word. She wants to be your maid of honor.
Yeah.
She is showing you that, you know, I mean, it was kind of shitty of her to be pissy during the dress shopping, you know, fake it till you make it.
Yeah. Right, well, Dahlia? Maybe it just hit her, you know, that this was really happening.
Yeah. Yeah. And people have their ways. Like, she might have seemed bored, but she might have been fighting back tears.
Yeah.
You know, like, now you're going to get married and what's going to happen to us.
Right.
So it might be a great relief to have this conversation. And Dahlia might just say, like, thank God you brought it up. I didn't want to rain on your parade by saying how sad I am that I feel like you'll be more distant from me.
Yeah. It's tough.
Yeah.
Very tough.
So, great letter, though. And we're so glad you're asking the questions now.
Yeah.
It speaks
oh, my God, that's
to,
so smart of you.
It's so mature. Sometimes our letters are maybe a little more basic, and this is like a very emotionally intelligent question to be asking.
Yeah, or usually it's... they write the letter after the hell and the chaos has gone on.
Right. And what you're doing is, you know, I want to prevent chaos and disruption.
Yeah.
You're not writing what do I do to fix this? It's what do I do to prevent this?
Yeah.
So good for you.
So great.
Joss, we have a couple. We asked for tales of happy friends.
We did.
Instead of crappy friends. And we have some really nice ones.
We do.
So this is a new segment we're doing just sort of because the world needs some positivity and we would like to share tales of happy friends too.
Right.
So go for it.
Okay. Hey ladies, my best friend Amelie, not her real name, flew out to the East Coast to help me pack up and move across the country a few years ago. We made a road trip out of it, and she helped bear the intense emotional labor of moving and leaving a bad workplace and living situation and relationship.
Ooh.
She hadn't seen me in a year, and I didn't know that I'd started hurting myself, but she knew that I was at my breaking point. She was the person who outright told me I needed to leave, and I will forever think of Amelie as the person who saved me from myself. Amelie sends me little cards or gifts from time to time, and she read the eulogy I wrote for my mom because I couldn't get past the first paragraph. For my part, I vandalized her cheating ex's car. Well done.
All right.
And then got into a physical fight with a different ex after he cheated on. Oh, my God.
Okay.
After he cheated on and then raped her.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, beat his ass.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was just about to say we don't advocate violence, but in this case.
In this case, yeah. Part of our friendship is that if someone wrongs the other, we proceed as if they wronged us both. We share victories and slights and joys and heartbreaks. The truest expression of love of when someone's victories and heartbreaks feels like your own. No? Yes, that is exactly correct. Amelie and I met in middle school and it took us years to become best friends. There isn't a moment I can point to where we went from friends to best friends, and you guys have helped me realize that the best friendships in my life are people with whom there wasn't an instant connection, but rather with whom I built strong relationships over time, with whom I can perform maintenance and have honest conversations even when we disagree. Instant best friendships make me idolize the friend and didn't let me see all the good and bad. I never felt secure enough to acknowledge issues, and those relationships all imploded eventually, even if it took years, as they do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm grateful for the lesson that I shouldn't just jump into deep friendships. I'm a huge Maya Angelou fan, so thank you for the constant reminder that when someone shows you who they are, believe them the first time.
Mm-hmm.
I take a step further, wait for a clear view of someone before entering into a deeper friendship. It gives them the opportunity to figure out if you're a good fit too. I can think of a few people with whom I regret confiding my traumas and sexual misadventures. You may receive a letter about one of them someday. Happy to.
Okay.
Luckily, though, there are many more people in my life who would do anything for me and for whom I would exchange the same grace no matter what. Thank you for all your wisdom. Much love. Amelie is because we met in French class. Oh, that's why she called
Aww,
her, not her
that's
real name
so
in French
cute.
Class. That's so sweet.
That's beautiful.
I love that.
You know, she sounds like a wonderful friend, and gosh, you've both been through some hellacious situations.
My goodness.
I'm so sorry about that, but you came out on the other side, and your friend helped you on the journey, and that's what friendship is.
Absolutely.
You know? And I loved what you said, you know, the other's joy and triumphs are yours.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, we've said this before, it's easy to be a friend for somebody who needs something and someone who's down on her luck, and you can swoop in and do something and feel great about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But when that friend is, you know, having a great moment and successful and stuff,
right.
If you're not right there cheering for her and elated by her success,
right.
Whatever it is, then you need to do a little check with yourself.
Yes, I agree.
You
have to be right there with her.
Yeah. Yeah.
We've done shows on jealousy.
We have.
So.
Yeah. I mean, and there's a difference between saying like, wow, I wish that would happen to me.
Yeah.
And like, I can't believe this happened to her.
Right.
You know,
right,
there's definitely a difference between like aspiring to that level.
Yes.
Too, whether it's like, I have the greatest relationship or, you know, look at my new house or I got to take a vacation, whatever it is. You know, it's okay to think like, oh, I hope too to own my own house someday, rather than like be resentful that she got to it.
Right.
Before
you did.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
So good for you. That's a lovely story of friendship.
It
and
is.
I love that you met in middle school. French
yeah,
class.
In French class.
Do you remember your French name?
No.
Mine was Catherine.
I remember my French teacher. I remember one was Mr. Beaumont, who I loved so much.
Aww.
And then Monsieur Cloutier was the one in high school. And that's all I got.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Having a French name was so exciting for me. It's like, I loved
I
French
must
class.
Have.
From the first day she said, pick a French name. I was like, oh, this is great. All right. Well, I was in the shower last night, Joss, and I thought...
What are you saying to me?
I have an embarrassing personal problem to share.
Okay.
I was scrubbing away, and I noticed I have a Band-Aid on
mm-hmm.
my fingernail. I have this like hoof-like fingernail all of a sudden.
Okay.
And I don't know if it's age or I hit it
mm-hmm.
very hard. And now it's growing like up. And it's so hideous that I have to cover it.
Oh, man.
I think I have to go to a doctor.
Yeah. Yeah.
Quick, Kristen.
Yeah.
Go now. Get out the door. Yeah, so I have this like really abused looking fingernail. It doesn't hurt anymore, but it catches on everything.
Oh.
So.
Because it's like so hoof-like and rough.
It's just like going away from the nail bed.
Oh.
You can see underneath it.
Ah. Tunnel or bridge.
I know. And I haven't been like going to the manicure place because of COVID and all that stuff. And now I'm afraid to go. I'm afraid they'll send me home. It's like, get out. We don't want your kind here.
So I recommend, in my professional capacity, that you go to a doctor.
As soon as possible. Thanks for listening to Crappy Friends. Don't forget to subscribe to Crappy Friends and consider leaving us a review. Email us your friend stories at theladies@crappyfriends.net. I'm Kristen Higgins.
And I'm Just A.
And we're best friends. Forever.